Hey, you hit that play button. Thank you so much for listening. You're going to get rewarded with another great podcast today of Which Way Is Life? This is episode 51, the podcast designed to help you find a healthier, inspired life. Two times a week, I interview trendsetting doctors, fitness pros, life coaches, and other inspiring guests in a quest for transformational discovery and positive change that you can put to use right away in your life. And we get you to the guest quicker. I don't want you waiting around, so we try to get to the guest as quickly as we can. So excited to have John Kim on with us today. John is the author of The Angry Therapist, a No BS Guide to Finding and Living Your Own Truth. He shares his radical new approach to creating a life of growth and change, and he sees himself as more of a lifestyle designer rather than a traditional therapist, and he helps people create personal growth organically just by living. John, thank you for joining me today. I like to start the show right at the top with the one thing. Are you ready?
I am ready. Bring it.
All right, good. Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
Yes, I was going to say to show yourself. And what I mean by that is to be transparent, to be vulnerable. I think a lot of people are afraid to express themselves and show who they really are. And by doing so, their life just doesn't line up. They get invisible.
I think that's so true, and I think a lot of us do that, myself included. You always want to present like this perfect version of yourself, and you're saying, don't do that. Be yourself. Be transparent.
Yeah, and easier said than done, but yeah, it's because it takes courage to be yourself.
Oh, wow. It's so true. All right, so we're going to dig into that coming up here. Before we do that, though, just give us a little glimpse of your personal life. Who are you when you're not saving the world?
Man, where should I start? Who am I? I went through a divorce about 7 years ago and started a blog called The Angry Therapist. Thought it was kind of funny. And what happened was I started to show myself, and that's why I said it for this your intro, is I just started to be transparent. I shed the old me and just started pulling from my truth because I was going through my rebirth. And I learned that by doing that, I think people thought it was interesting that a therapist was also talking about his feelings and documenting his life. And so I got some traction, and that turned into a full practice. And then it was too much for me to handle, so I built a team. And now we have a life coaching course. And it all started with me making that decision just to stand on my truth and show people who I am.
Wow, that's really cool. Before we dig in a little farther, I just want to say Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. So, John, how did you come up with the term the angry therapist? What's up with that?
I think in my 20s and 30s, I was angry, and I was angry because I wasn't happy and I didn't know who I was. But I mean, I'm not angry anymore, but I thought it was kind of funny that a therapist is angry. But at the end of the day, it's just my way of saying that I'm human.
So you've gotten a lot of traction out of this, talking about your divorce, talking about your own feelings, just sharing your own vulnerabilities, right? People have gravitated to you because of that.
Yeah, I think there's so much power behind vulnerability. And I know Brené Brown has a famous TED Talk where she shows the research behind that. But I think that's how you start living inside out instead of outside in. I think most of the world, people, we walk with veneers, and because we're afraid to show who we really are, we seek approval, validation, and we kind of live an outside in kind of life. And by doing so, I think it grays you out and you're not maneuvering at your potential.
Wow. Interesting. I love that term, living inside out instead of outside in. Help us understand that better.
I think it starts with a decision. But I think it's also like a muscle. I think that you got to take baby steps and you got to, work on that muscle until you feel comfortable and confident. Because people are going to resist it. The dynamic of every relationship that you're in partly is because of how you are. And if you're someone who isn't used to expressing yourself or being heard, that relationship's going to suddenly change and there's going to be resistance. And I think a lot of people at that point, snap back like a rubber band and go back to who they used to be. And you have to keep swimming until it's too far to turn back, and then it tips. And then you can actually, then people, start to like you and accept you for who you are, and it's empowering.
So can you give us some strategies or tips? How do we start living that life?
Sure. I talk a lot about our pseudo versus solid self, and our pseudo self is the false version of us. It's the place that we pull from with advertising and, you know, society and all our blueprints and expectations. Our solid self is usually the quiet whisper. It's the side of us that is our truth that we're afraid to listen to. And we put our solid self into a hope chest and lock it early on. And I think a lot of growth has to do with pulling that person back out and allowing that person to be heard. So by pulling from your solid self, and we fluctuate throughout the day depending on who we're with and what we're going through, but by trying to stay as solid as you can, that's how you start to live inside out instead of outside in.
Okay, so the pseudo self is what we were talking about. Like I mentioned, you know, kind of that fake perfect version of yourself, not really showing your vulnerabilities, not showing
right.
your truth, that pseudo fake self. So the solid self. So can you give us, like right now today, what would be the process of creating our solid self? Do you have three things you can share with us?
What would be the process in creating our solid self? I think
right.
you have to start with being transparent. And I think you have to start with, you can't build anything without truth. So I think you have to be honest, not only with other people, but especially yourself. And I think a lot of people are not honest with themselves. And once you're honest with yourself, it's kind of the soil for growth. I think everything begins there. And then when you start to hear that quiet whisper that you know is your intuition, is your truth, instead of ignoring it, to actually execute it, like listen to it and execute it in life. I think a lot of people, they talk in their heads a lot, but they don't execute their true, genuine wishes, you know? And I think execution is 50% of growth. I think a lot of people have revelations, but if you don't do anything about it, they're just ideas.
Hmm. You've said everything starts with how you feel. It's the birthplace of change. That's what that
yeah.
really means, right? Can you elaborate
yeah,
on that
exactly.
a little bit more?
I just think we live in a world where people don't allow themselves to feel, and that is your truth. Feelings aren't facts, but they are real. They are your truth. And I think we have to allow ourselves to feel something, you know. It doesn't necessarily mean to act on it, but once you allow yourself to feel something, you're accepting yourself. You're not pushing yourself away or disconnecting with you, you know.
So really understand your feelings. We talk a lot about feelings on this podcast because you know deep inside if something is wrong, if something is not right, if something is bothering
sure.
you. Too many times that we just keep it bottled up inside, and that's the problem.
Yes. And I think that more people need to, you know, whatever their way is, their format is, but more need people need to express themselves and their feelings.
So you believe in language of me too instead of you should, just talking about being a therapist. So sharing your personal experiences help you connect and kind of break through to become a better therapist like you were just talking about.
Yeah, and it was all learning, but, you know, in therapy school, they teach you to be more like you should, or they teach you not to be transparent. And I decided to go the other way, and I learned that, you know, taking a different approach with clients and, you know, sharing your story or being more with them instead of at them, it changes the dynamic and it produces more glue and they trust you. And so that created a lot of questions and how we change and the temperature of change and how we go into things. So for the last 7 years, I've been going, I guess, against the grain of what a therapist should do.
And what is the treatment model called therapeutic community? What is that?
That is, so in residential, I was working with teenagers and addiction, and that's something that dates back way to the 1800s. It's just the idea that we rebuild ourselves through others. So TC is, it's a residential facility where everyone helps each other out. There's no, there's structure, there's jobs, et cetera, but it's like a micro community, and that's how they accomplish their goals, get sober and grow. And I think that one of the greatest misconceptions about self-help is that we're meant to do it alone. And I've learned through that experience and also my personal, you know, rebuilding my life, you have to do it with tribes. You have to do it with other people. We're not meant to do life alone.
So people going through the kind of a shared experience, you can kind of lean on each other and gain strength through the community.
Yes, sharpen each other, lean on each other, support. It's the people that isolate themselves that fall into, you know, slippery wells and the darkness and trenches, and they get depressed. When you have a tribe, when you put yourself in a community and people are supporting each other, I think growth is exponential.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about going against the grain. So you have an online practice which kind of goes against the grain. We always imagine the therapist and the patient sitting on the couch and the tell me about your childhood. So I mean you're doing this online. How different is that? So you don't necessarily need to see patients face to face.
No, and then you know the other piece of this is if you're a licensed therapist in say California, you're only supposed to see people in your own state. And so with the internet, it breaks, you know, you're suddenly a conduit into anyone's life around the world. So it raises that question. And I think the internet is powerful in that it could reach, you could reach, you know, reach is limitless. So I think it's changing right now where I don't think the board is going to be able to stop people from being therapists. Stop people from, you know, using webcams and technology to, I've been doing it for 7 years. When you weren't supposed to, and I don't know what the law is now, but it's very gray, and there's a lot of room for to change in a different way, which is exciting.
The angry therapist. I'm just going to get it done, darn it. I don't care who approves of it. I'm using the internet. So, John,
yeah, exactly.
you also say self-help in a shot glass. I mean, is that because you kind of developed this shorter process? This, you know, again,
yeah,
you think
I,
of the traditional therapist, the half hour on the couch and you got to drive there. And this is a shorter version, right?
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but you're right. The direct injection into your home via internet is definitely in a shot glass. But what I meant by shot glass is I'm a C student. And in order for me to understand something, you know, especially if it's dense, like psychology and therapy and all this, I got to put it in a shot glass. I got to simplify it for me to understand. And what I've learned that is a lot of people feel the same way. So, you know, I speak a different language. I try to cut all the fat. I try to get to the point. That's the way I understand it. And it's been effective with people that want, you know, self-betterment.
Hmm. All right. So help me through this. What is ailing us most in the world that you see? What do people come to you most for? What is the biggest problem that we seem to all have in our lives?
Our disconnect and our poor relationship with ourselves.
With ourselves?
Yeah. So okay. Lack of self-love, lack of self-care, false beliefs, you know, all that stuff. People don't realize that we actually have a relationship with ourselves because they're so focused on having relationships with other people, and then they don't have a strong stance and they kind of lose themselves. So we need to go back to reconnecting and having a really solid relationship with ourselves. That's what's
very interesting. Very interesting. So how do you, so somebody, obviously you just said it, people are having, their biggest problem is their relationship with themselves. How do you dig down into that and how do you correct that problem then?
You start changing your inner dialogue. You start giving yourself gratitude and compassion. You start giving yourself self-care. I have so many clients that will do so much for other people, but when it comes to them, they can't even buy themselves a new shirt or whatever it is, or give them me time or pursue what they're passionate about. There's a lot of stuff that people don't do. They push away because they don't believe that they are worthy or they deserve that. So it's changing that belief, you know, and one way to do it is just through behavior and giving, you know, treating yourself as you would treat your best friend or someone you love.
So that's a good strategy, and that also is part of getting to the solid self, too, right? That's another important step,
is
self-love and self-acceptance.
Right. It's a doorway into connecting with your solid self. You know, a lot of times when people go through expired relationships, and I call them expired instead of breakups, they always tell you to date yourself. And I think it should be like that forever. I think you should always be, in a way, dating yourself, learning about yourself. Enhancing that relationship with yourself.
Date yourself. That's an interesting concept. So treat yourself like you would that person you're with on a first date. You're always trying to be nice and opening
right.
the door and let me pull your chair out for you. And yeah, so
sure.
That's
yeah, and
an
I'm not saying
interesting
to,
concept.
Posture or pull from your ego, but yeah. And I think that even when you're in a relationship, you should always be dating yourself.
Wow. So you also mentioned negative self-talk. How do we stop that? Because there's so much of it out there. We're always beating ourselves up. Do you have a couple tips or strategies for eliminating negative self-talk?
Yeah, it's our pattern of playing back old beliefs or records and not being able to stop that. So when we're aware that we are self-bashing or saying things that are not true, we may feel a certain way, but if we say things that are true, and we just have to stop playing that record. We have to stop repeating it and fill it with new thoughts, fill it with new beliefs. So whether they're affirmations or things that you want to believe, it's okay. You can put the cart before the horse, but start stop that record and start playing new language. Start talking to yourself in a different way.
Stop the record, put on a new one. Just put on a better record.
play the B-side.
Flip it over, baby. It's B-side time.
Exactly. Well, that's where your solid self is.
Well, the book is The Angry Therapist, A No BS Guide to Finding and Living Your Own Truth. So, John, in the book, you go into depth on all these things we've been touching on.
Yeah, fantastic. I break it down in a kind of a simple way, but all the stages on how to build yourself like Brandon Container.
Good stuff. Well, coming up, we get the high five from John. But first, if I can ask a quick favor, if you have an iTunes account, jump on over to iTunes after the interview with John and rate and review the podcast. By doing that, we gain a wider audience, and it gives us a chance to help more people hear the great messages that my guests have, like John Kim, the angry therapist, and his great message that he's delivering today. So if you could do that for me, I would appreciate it greatly. The high five with John is next. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And just for listening to Which Way Is Life, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check it out. So if you like listening to podcasts like this one, you're going to love Audible.com. So I would recommend you check it out and browse all the books you can download for free with a 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/ and then type in Which Way Is Life. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ Which Way Is Life for your free audio book. Time for the high five with my guest today, John Kim. John, are you ready?
I am. Let's do it.
Question number one. Why did you want to become a therapist? What lit your fire for that profession?
I was actually seeing my own therapist, and I was a screenwriter. I was trying to get into the movie business. I had a little bit of success, but it was too feast or famine, and I was not happy. And he's like, what do you want to do if you can't do that? And I said, I want to do what you're doing. If I can't move people by the masses, I'll do it one at a time. And I was also the guy in the circle of friends growing up that kind of everyone came to for advice for some reason. You know, every tribe of friends has that one person. And I just love talking about life and relationships. So, yeah.
I'm sorry your screenwriting career ended, but I'm happy your therapist career came out of it because you're helping a lot of people.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. But, you know, in life, the way life works, things come back around. And now I'm working on a documentary, which is technically a film. About my story and the journey and other people's lives. So we'll see.
Oh, that's cool.
We'll see if that's...
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Well, good luck. Well, good luck with that. That would be a really cool story. Really cool. Yeah. All right. Question number two. Knowing what you know now about life, what advice would you give your younger self?
Oh, man. Stay out of your head. I used to worry a lot. I used to future trip. I think most people either live in the past or in the future, and they don't live in the present. By doing that, you strip away moments and experiences and connection. And that was most of my 20s and 30s, of chasing shiny things and being in my head constantly. So in my relationships, I wasn't present. And, you know, that's partly why I got a divorce. I wasn't in it.
Right. Be more present. Such good advice.
Be more present, for sure.
All right, question number three. You've got an inspiring story. Tell me about someone or something that inspires you today.
Oh, man. You know who inspires me the most are my clients. A lot of times, and I'm sure other therapists and life coaches can relate, when they're doing sessions, sometimes we get more out of the sessions than the clients, and it's because there's such amazing stories out there. Every time I have a session or every time someone writes to me or I help someone to run a group, that's when I get the most fuel. That's when I get the most excited and the most inspiration. Just real people, real stories.
Well, talk about satisfaction and then your ability to help them overcome something. That's just got to be a great feeling.
Yeah, it's a great feeling, and it's a scary feeling, and you know, but it feels good for sure.
All right, question number four. Do you have a favorite book you can share with us?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of books. I would say off the top of my head, The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday. I think it's a great book. It's very well written. And it's just this whole idea that, you know, the obstacles, the mountains that we face, that's the way to go. It's not the detour. So it's a different way to look at obstacles.
The Obstacle is the Way. We will put a link to that on the show notes page at radiomd.com. All right, question number five. Finish this sentence. Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is?
To resist nothing. I think that resistance is the soil or the richest soil that we have to grow. And most people, when we feel the resistance, we go the other way. And I think that in our resistance is where we could stretch the most. So that's what I've learned, is whenever I feel myself resisting something, to actually explore it and see what that's about, because that's where the growth happens.
So when you say resist something, like say, I want to do this, or I want to create this, or I want to make this, or I want to make a career change, but then you get the resistance, like, no, you're never going to do that. It's not going to work. Forget about it.
Right.
That is the resistance. Then you're saying, oh, when I feel that resistance, then I'm going for it.
Yeah, and that's, I actually got resist nothing tattooed on my forearm, and it's a reminder to myself that exactly what you're talking about. Our resistance is usually fear-based, it's false beliefs, it's all that negativity that we believe in ourselves, and if we lean into that resistance, you know, that's where you can overcome and grow.
So lean into that negativity, don't listen to it.
Yeah, lean into it as in push through it. Kick its ass.
Yeah, push through it, right. Well, John, thank you so much for your time today. How can we connect with you?
You can just go to theangrytherapist.com or my startup. I'm a co-founder in a startup called Shift, shft.us, and we're certifying life coaches, and we're helping people change through tribes. So it's going to be it's an online platform.
Very good. And again, we will have a link to that on the show notes at radiomd.com. Well, as I close out every show, John, I'm going to leave you with one of my own favorite quotes, which is, remember to enjoy the little things in life, because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. John, thank you again for your time today.
Thank you so much. And thanks for that reminder. It's great.
So fun talking with the angry therapist, John Kim, and thank you for listening. Remember to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life. Just hit subscribe wherever you're listening right now. We produce a new episode every Monday and Thursday. Get them all by hitting subscribe. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcast. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. You can find me at Which Way Is Life on Twitter and Facebook. You can also check out the show notes at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.